I am loud and I speak up, and I speak up. And it was incredible.
Iman Jamal Eddin.
Iman Jamal Eddin.
Microsoft Chief of Staff Asia.
17 years of experience.
Leader, mentor, and an inspiration.
So many female leaders from that 170 came to me after that and said, oh my God, we were thinking the same thing and you spoke on all our behalf. As a human species, we had tens of thousands of years of innovation. When the printing press was here, did we lose jobs? No. Their job became smarter, more efficient, and honestly enjoyable. Again, I think this is quite a question that brings me to being uncomfortable, but I'm going to address it. That was one that really shaped my entire career and my entire life at 18. Spend time there. And it's just 10% of your work week. 10%! That's all what I'm asking for.
In your career, I mean, today you work at Microsoft as the chief of staff. It's a Fortune 500 company. Also, you have access to the best minds on the planet. Do you consider yourself successful?
There is never one milestone of success. You achieve something, you work for a greater impact, a better impact, more learning. Again, always putting myself in uncomfortable situations, always getting more opportunities or more challenges or more, I call them opportunities to shine. If there is a challenge or if there is a situation where I'm uncomfortable, that's my opportunity to shine and that's my opportunity to grow. Do I consider myself successful? I consider myself work in progress. Continuous kaizen, going back to the Japanese one.
I love that. And so you say that you were always looking for opportunities. And how do you plan your career? And how do you search for those opportunities?
That's a very good question. I live with a motto that says every 2 years you need to do something else. It doesn't need to be going up the ladder. It could be horizontal. It could be vertical. It could be even going step back to do two steps forward. But the inertia is something that I intentionally avoid in every single step in my career. Every 2 years, there needs to be something that I need to look forward to really grow, continue to learn, find a new role that's where I fit 60%, but I can grow 40%. I don't look for a next role where I am 100% fit because I'm gonna be bored. So I always, every 2 years, either move, you know, radically speaking, it says either move up or move out. Every 2 years, I look, either move up or move left or move right or even move down to move up. It doesn't matter. But every 2 years, you need a continuous growth and continuous change in your career. I interview a lot and I hire a lot of people. And sometimes you have someone who says, I have 16 years of experience. But then when you see his profile or her profile, they've been doing similar things for 16 years. So how I count that is, they don't have 16 years of experience. They have 2 years of experience multiplied by 8.
Love it.
So let's not have 2 years of experience multiplied by X. Let's have a lot of experiences every 2 years. Find a change. Find something that you are passionate about. And being, you know, do your research to say, what do I want to do next? Where is my passion right now? And how can I get to my passion?
I think, let me try to guess. One of your values is growth.
Yes. 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 Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So you posted on social media that you experience in your career non-inclusive behaviors, such as privilege, entitlement, or even the need to fit in, right? Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. I think this is quite a question that brings me to being uncomfortable, but I'm going to address it. There are many, many situations that sometimes they are conscious biasness, and sometimes they are unconscious biasness, especially, you know, a decade ago or 15 years ago in cultures and environments where they are homogeneous cultures. And as a foreigner there, they may not know how to make you fit, how to make you belong. The first experience that I had, and probably that's why I'm really, really passionate about D&I, was when I was studying in a university in Japan. I was studying engineering, which means there aren't many women there to start with, but we were probably five female engineering students among hundreds and hundreds of male students in Japan. And on top of that, I was probably the one or two foreign female engineering students. That's even making it much, much lesser. And we were in a lecture with a very influential, popular Japanese professor. Like his lectures are always full. There are always hundreds of students attending his lecture. And I was sitting in a chair, and the class was full, but the seats in front of me, behind me, on my left and on my right were empty.
Wow.
People were standing behind near the door, hundreds of people full of students, but I was an isolated island. Four seats were empty. That was okay, you know, you dissociate with that and you just focus on the lecture, you focus on the student, on the professor. But then the professors stopped the lecture. Yeah.
No.
He stopped the lecture, and he said jokingly, "She doesn't bite and she's not contagious. So either four courageous students can go and sit around her, or this lecture is over."
Wow.
That showed male allyship at 18 years old. I tell you, I was in love with that professor. I'm like, oh, he's my hero. But in the same time, you experience that exclusion, and probably it was unintentional. They don't know how to engage with a female foreign student. Mm-hmm. So they left the space. But that for me was like, why am I in that island? And again, on the flip side, having one male professor and one male ally stand up and says, if you don't sit around her, the lecture is over, was a clear life lesson for me that you need to speak up. You need to stand by the minorities and the unconscious biasness. So that was one that really shaped my entire career and my entire life at 18.
Wow. And so today, do you think that shaped you as a person, that experience?
I am loud and I speak up.
Yeah.
And I speak out. Just recently, we had a leadership offsite, and there were 170 senior leaders of my company getting together and really, you know, working on the strategies and next actions and next FY and roadmap. And there was a leader who was there was a male leader and female leader both on stage, and just unintentionally, he was taking the mic for the longest time, and she was standing there waiting for her time. And time is up, their 15 minutes or whatever presentation was almost up, and she didn't get time to speak. He was just taking the time. He was passionate about what he was saying, so probably he didn't pay attention to the mic. I am the MC of the whole offsite. I took the mic, a different mic, and he said, so-and-so, give the mic to your colleague. Thank you very much. That he gave her the mic, and you know, we made it fun, and she said, thank you, Iman, but I'm really okay. I'm very, very much aligned with what he said. But just taking the mic and you know, politely interrupting him and say, we have 2 minutes left, can you allow your colleague to speak? So many female leaders from that 170 came to me after that and said, oh my God, we were thinking the same thing, and you spoke on all our behalf. So if you see something, say something.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also as a leader, it's our, of course, our responsibility to speak up for ourselves, but also for others.
Absolutely.
Right? And to inspire. So this is an amazing story.
Give a voice to the people who aren't able to share their voice. Be their voice.
Yeah.
So, yes, probably that I heard the feeling of that male colleague, but I needed to stand up by the female colleague.
Mm, that's so inspiring. Thank you for sharing that.
No worries.
Such a nice story. Yeah. Now if we move to the workspace, if you look ahead for the next 5 to 10 years at the workspace, what do you think is going to change from a people perspective?
If I had a magic ball, I would tell you what would change. But you know, so many things change drastically and rapidly across every decade we work in the workplace. But I think the artificial intelligence and the generative AI is already shaping the workplace. We will move most probably away from the mundane jobs, the paperwork jobs, the minute-taking, the logistics job, and sometimes the analyst job, because all that our very intelligent smart co-pilot or AI assistant will help us do it. Then we will start focusing on what really matters, the purpose of the work, the impact that we are making on society, the creativity, the innovation, the strategic thinking, the human connections, because we will have that amazing, incredible time that was optimized thanks to our AI assistant for us to do some things, the things that we are so passionate about and the things that we love. Let's face it, in every job right now, you have, if you are lucky, you have 70-75% of the role that you love so much. And then you have 25%, like, why am I doing this? Mm. Let's just say, for example, a doctor. They are so passionate about, helping patients and finding cures and supporting the patients. But then they need to write paperwork all the time. They need to put all the meeting minutes of the session in on their computers. What if they had an assistant or an agent or a co-pilot who's listening in to the conversation that the doctor and patient are having and then helping the doctor put the meeting minutes, put the actions, and record everything? The amount of time saved for that doctor to go and see another patient is incredible. Yeah. And say that to the teachers. Yeah, their passion is to engage with the kids and make the kids better human beings and grow them to the future leaders. But in the same time, they had to record every incident, every remark, everything. Wow.
Yeah.
What if they had an intelligent agent helping them on all that?
Mm.
My mother and my father, both my parents are educators. They spent 40 years in the education system. The amount of time they brought work to home is incredible. Because they want to focus their time at school for the kids. And then the paperwork, they will bring it home.
Yeah.
And that's time out of their family time. I've grown up seeing my parents on a table doing paperwork. What if they had an intelligent assistant doing that paperwork for them? So I think the workplace will be shaped more on looking into the strategic skills, innovation skills, creative skills, and letting the AI do the mandate work for us.
Mm. And I love how the perspective that you are seeing, and I love the perspective that you are giving us, which is not many people are having a different view on AI. But I'm curious, when you look at, okay, there's going to be a big change, we're having now a big change already at the workplace. amongst the leaders that you see either on social media or that you talk with, what worries you the most about these leaders that they are not getting in order to adjust to this change?
It's not embracing the new technology and innovation.
Yeah.
It's being, you know, stuck in the past in a way. And as a human species, we had tens of thousands of years of innovation. When the printing press was here, did we lose jobs? No.
Yeah.
When the internet was here, did we lose jobs? No. When Excel was created, did finance folks lose their job or accountants? No. Their job became smarter, more efficient, and honestly enjoyable. So embracing that next level of AI era and seeing it as an opportunity to really upskill and reskill the workforce to be even more, to enjoy their work and enjoy what they're doing. And I'll give you just an example of how I embraced it so much and helped me a lot just recently. So I was in Davos with my boss. And when you go to Davos, you have 30, 40 plus meetings that the leaders do with each other, CEOs of customers, you know, head of states, et cetera, et cetera. And as the chief of staff, I need to ensure that every meeting minutes is taken, every action is discussed. I'm there to support my leader or the leaders that I work with in order to get that done. And, you know, imagine you have 40 meetings in 3 days.
Crazy.
Yeah. My brain would just explode if I had to take notes, everything. So, Rodrigo, I turned on Copilot in every single meeting, and Copilot was taking the notes for me, the actions and the key topics. And after every meeting, for full transparency, I will show to the customer CEO or to the leader what Copilot summarized for us, and then I will send it to their office and to them, generated by Copilot. My hands were thanking me and my brain was more focused on the conversation with the leaders rather than focus on busily taking notes of everything that's there. It made my job even more enjoyable and made me focus on what matters, which is strategy and actions and engagement with the leaders, rather than, you know, the 25% of my time, which is on the mundane activities.
Yeah, it's very powerful. I remember last year they were asking a leader about, like, what do you think we should do with AI? Everyone was worried. And what he said is, like, jump straight away, learn as fast as possible, and then think if it's important for you or not, because it's going to be the future.
It is the present.
Yeah,
it is
exactly.
Now.
Yeah.
It's now. So yeah. Embrace it. The interesting thing is, you know, our generation, we were digital immigrants. Okay? We went from analog into internet and PC. Then the generation after us were digital natives, right? This current generation is AI native.
Yeah.
My kids already talk about AI, already ask AI about feedback. It's part of their day to day. They're AI native.
Yeah.
If our generation are not embracing it, we will have a disconnect with the future generation.
I agree.
And that's what we want to avoid. So jump on it.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm curious to understand, like, and whatever you are seeing at the workplace right now, what really breaks your heart?
Some employees or some workforce have the opportunity of learning at their fingertips and they're not learning. And some other workforce that don't have the learnings at their fingertips and they are so hungry for learning, they will go and look and hunt and try to learn. No, when this privilege of having the learning, I would recommend and request to everyone who has this privilege to seize the day. You have it in your fingertips, learn, and then make it a ripple effect and talk about it to other people and let other people learn. It's like someone who has a library of 100 books and never took a book to read. That's what breaks my heart.
Yeah, and especially today with the information, it's so widely available, right? There's not also so much excuse not people not to, to learn. So again, we come back again learning. So
there is no excuse of not learning. Agree. There is no excuse of not growing.
Agree. And especially when we are seeing so much change so fast, that the only way we can keep up with that change is to learn and
yes.
to grow,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And that's, I think, a big change from the past where things were more not so fast. Now I think the leader needs that adaptability and
yes.
that comes from that mindset. Right?
Yes.
You say, just keep learning.
Yes,
keep
and learning. AI will democratize the information.
Yes.
AI will democratize
yes.
the insights.
Yes.
So not a small amount of people will have the insights and information. Everyone now
yes.
has insights and information.
Yeah.
It's the power of AI is democratizing it.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. When you hiring people to your team, what are the criterias or the profile that you look when you are interviewing someone?
Well, you probably guessed it by now. I would look, definitely number one for me is growth mindset.
Yes.
And I ask the question, when did you fail last? Or tell me about an opportunity that you failed. And if someone tells me, oh, I did something 15 years ago, then my reaction is, for the last 15 years, you didn't get anything that you learned from. So being self-aware and growing and making mistakes and learning from them and being vulnerable to sharing them,
yeah.
It's absolutely critical for me. So that's one of the green flags, red flags, is when I see growth mindset in the person. The second one is a person who does the research, does the work, you know, puts in the effort. And I always say, you know, you can't just wing it. Oh, let me wing an interview. Or I have a presentation, let me wing it with the audience. No. Even opera singers, they rehearse. And they have tons of talent and they still rehearse. So if you are doing presentation, you would rehearse. You need to rehearse. You need to put in the effort. If you are doing a keynote, you need to look into the script and read it and reread it and make sure that it is there. If you are coming to an interview, you need to really research on the job, about the job, about the scope, about the company, about the interviewer. If you are interviewing with me and you don't know from my social media or what I put out there, who am I as a person? And then come and ask me questions about me that are out there in social media, you didn't put in the effort. So putting in the effort, doing the work is really important. Even if I'm hiring a senior leader, he or she needs to also be hands-on, pull up their sleeves and do the work. So that growth mindset, putting in the effort, and really I look into diversity. I really look into diversity. I look into diverse profiles. I look into people who were in different industries, people who, for example, were in the military as veterans and came back, moms returning to work. So I look for interesting, diverse profile that will bring different perspectives to the table. And I like to take chance on people. Like, for example, last time we were to hire a people manager. And I had the option between, at the end, shortlisted, blah, blah, blah. I had the option between two. Somebody who has never been a people manager in his life, but is very keen, very hungry, has taken team lead for many times, you know, huge empathy and all that. And someone who's been a people manager for 20 years, safe bet. Of course, he's a good people manager. That's why he's shortlisted and everything else. Still, it's a safe bet. As a leader, I could, again, going back to being in the service of others, if I want to take the easy way out, Rodrigo, I'll take the 20 years people manager. Mm-hmm. Absolutely safe bet. He will be successful. He will do amazing. And that's okay. I went for the one who has never been a people manager to say, I'm going to take a safe bet on him. I think he will really work and put in the effort and grow. And I took that person, and he's successful right now. Wow. It's been 4 years. His team grew to the double, and he has the employee signals for him are just through the roof because he's so empathic.
Hmm. You can't imagine how happy I'm listening to what you're saying. I think today, I think a lot of times we as leaders do this mistake. We look at a CV or education, and we forget like the experiences, yeah, skills, yeah, that you are looking at. And yeah, the second point is to take more risks, yeah, and bets on, yeah, people and not to play safe. Otherwise, yes, we're going to have an average team, you know. And so I really love what you're saying.
Yes, yeah, yes, yes.
So good. Good. So now for people who are watching us and they want to plan their career, they want to grow.
Yes.
Can you give us like practical advices on what people can do in order to grow faster in their career?
From my perspective and my experience, and again, this is somebody who loves to connect and talk to people. So everyone is different. Okay. But from my perspective, I spend time connecting with leaders. I spend time connecting with people. I spend time learning. And if you're working 40 hours a week, 10% is what? 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Can you spend 4 hours a week on your connections and learning? Mm. If without looking at the 40 hours, if I say, Rodrigo, spend 4 hours connecting with people, meeting the leaders, getting coaching, getting mentoring, yeah, learning new skill, you would react saying, wow, 4 hours, Iman? What is it, 4 hours out of 40?
Yeah, it's nothing.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing. Split it into 45 minutes each, or split it into half an hour each. Half an hour, that's 8 connections with 8 people. So be intentional in connecting with people, because you learn from people more, and you have that human connection, and they will share with you their insights. We as a human species, we like to share with each other. We like to tell stories with each other. Learn from the stories of connecting with people. Spend time there. And it's just 10% of your work week. 10%.
Yeah.
That's all what I'm asking for.
And what else? Now that you're here, I need to get some more insights.
I think know what ultimately is your goal. Mm. What do you want to achieve as an employee or as a leader before you retire? What's your ultimate goal that when you retire, you would say, I had a really good runway. And once you know where you want to achieve and what you want to achieve, the path becomes easier. And it's not one linear path. It can go left, right, down, up, wherever it is, same company, different company. But every step that you're making, it's leading you towards what you want to achieve. So when I ask that to people, many don't know what they really want to achieve.
Wow.
And then I sit down with them. I had a mentee and I told her, and she was like, I'm stuck now. I'm in 2 years. I want to go look for something else. I don't know what to do. And I said, okay, what is your ultimate goal before retiring? And she said, Iman, I've never thought about it.
Wow.
Like, okay, let's think about it together. What do you enjoy? What do you want to be? And she said, Iman, I really love strategy. I want to be the head of strategy worldwide for Microsoft. If I reach that, I'm okay to retire. Like, okay, you want to be the chief strategy officer for Microsoft. What steps do you need to reach there? Oh, I need to know operations. I need to know sales. I need to do a little bit of marketing. I need to learn. I can do a stint in engineering. your career is already planned now. And if you do operations now, great. If you do sales now and then you do operations later, that's absolutely fine. If you go by engineering, come back to operations, go sales, absolutely fine. Your ultimate goal is the chief strategy officer. And then the world become your oyster. So spend time really understanding what do you want to achieve in your work, in your career, before you put on your badge and then you leave. And that will help you map your career.
And this was also, you interviewed someone in one of your episodes that he was saying, like he was asking his team, what's your dream? And then the team was surprised about like, and I think more leaders, we need to also to help our teams with that. Having clarity about your dream, you know, and then the rest will follow because a lot of people are lost. I feel they're lost in the, on the way, you know, here on the tactics or what. But once you are clear about that goal, then you're just present and you see the opportunities that come to you, right?
Yes. And if you, you know, sometimes we, again, we go into the easy, comfortable way out. And I've seen it many times where, for example, a person or a talent that she can do much more in her next role, she could take a bigger role that's more aligned with hopefully something that she's thinking of in the future. But she's taking, she decided to take the same role with a different organization. Then again, it's like, is it aligned with what you really want to do? Or again, going back to 2 years of experience multiplied by eight, is it going to be another 2 years of experience multiplied by four right now because you are doing it twice? Always be intentional on what growth will you have and how is it paying you forward for your ultimate goal?
Yeah, I love that so, so much. This is so good. Also, I think, so in this journey, something that I see some like leaders and people at the workplace struggling is to maintain a balance between the personal life and also the professional life. What's your advice for people to have a good balance between the two?
One, let's make it very clear, there is no balance. There is no balance. There's always something to give. And there is always, there are always priorities to juggle, priorities to decide which priority will you take at which point in time, at which day. Case in point, for example, and that's how I lived all my personal life. We are recording Saturday morning, Sunday morning. We are recording Sunday morning. I had two priorities. Either I can record with you or I bring my kid to Taekwondo. So I recorded with you. My husband is taking my kid to the Taekwondo. And in the afternoon, I bring in, I'm bringing my kids to watch Kung Fu Panda. So it, you know, it's you, which time of the day you are prioritizing what? Yes, I missed his Taekwondo lesson, but I'm bringing him to Kung Fu Panda in the afternoon. So that just finding the harmony of your life and and work is extremely important. And in the same time, you are role modeling to your kids about prioritization, about delegation, about trust. Like literally this morning, I needed a pep talk before coming. Okay, so I went to my son and I said, "Hey, are you proud of your mom?" He said, "Yes, I am. What are you talking about?" Then I said, "What are you really proud about on your mom?" And he said, "Your intelligence." And, you know,
so cute.
That's so cute. Because you're teaching them that you have, that you are smart, that you are intelligent, that you are hardworking, that you, you know how to delegate, you know how to prioritize. And does it make, is it a lot of effort? Of course it is a lot of effort. Is it rewarding? Of course it is rewarding. So find, there are times, for example, and I travel a lot, I have, I always have conversations with my kid, even when they were very young, now they are 9 and 12. I sit down with them and they say, which event you have, taekwondo, you have piano recital, you have a show at school. Which ones do you want mommy to go? Can't take all of them. I'm traveling to India. He would say, the theater show at school. Okay, then I will make that theater show happen.
Yeah.
It was a case where the theater show was Friday noon, and I was in Bangalore on Thursday, and I took the red eye flight to reach by 6 a.m. so I can get to his recital by 12. Is it hard work? Of course. I didn't sleep that night.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I felt so rewarded that I did my work in Bangalore, and I also met my son's request of me attending the session. The other thing is, find your tribe that will support you.
Yeah.
And that was the title of my human book with GovTech 2 days ago. Find your tribe, and find women and men who sit in your kitchen table and help you grow. One of the people who are sitting in my kitchen table is my husband. He is the most supportive person I ever had. We've been together for 20 years. He will not say, why are you recording a podcast on a Saturday morning, whereas I need to drive our son and stay with him for 2 hours. He said, oh my God, congratulations, go for it.
Wow.
So having a supportive spouse, or if not, having supportive friends, yeah. having parents, siblings, find your tribe that will help you grow. And they will be proud of you when you're doing your work, proud of you, supporting you when you juggle priorities. It's not easy.
Yeah.
But again, it's a continuous growth.
And I love how you put it, because sometimes people just say like, no, this is time for work, this is time for personal. And I like what you say, it's more about how do you find a harmony, right?
Yeah.
You're ready to flow. Sometimes it's more high here, sometimes it's low here.
Yeah.
But then you find that balance yourself, right? And that harmony, I love that.
Yeah, yeah. And plan in advance.
Exactly.
I live and breathe by my calendar,
yeah.
and I have one single calendar for everything,
yes,
including Microsoft work, including my personal aspect. My EA used to joke that she knows everything about my life,
yeah.
because I agreed with my husband that he sends me the when we have something, tuition for the kids or taekwondo or lesson, he sends it to Microsoft.com. Because
yeah.
I cannot have a Gmail one or a Hotmail one or a Microsoft one. So she knows when my kids have taekwondo, she knows when my kids have a dentist appointment, and she helps me avoid those sessions.
Yeah.
So I can go to the dentist with my kid, come back and continue work, and that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Prioritize, plan.
Yeah.
Organize, delegate.
Yeah. Okay, we are at the end. And like, what is one message that you would love people to remember from this conversation?
Be intentional on your growth and learning. That's what I would love everyone to take away from this.
So good. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on
Thank you for having me.
A Sunday morning, but now I understand how you integrate all your personal and professional life. It was an absolute pleasure to be here with you. I learned a lot, such an inspiration. And I can't wait also what's next for you.
Thank you for having me. I really had a blast. Thank you.